You know, it's easy for us to live a comfortable life, to make excuses and not move forward when God is saying, you go for it, you run your race. It's easy to be comfortable. I received a phone call a couple weeks ago from a wonderful man named Pastor Wayne Cadero. And he said to me, he said, Bernie, I want you to come and speak to the church that I love. You only have 5 services, and they'll be multiplied thousands, and they'll watch you live on the internet, and they'll record your DVDs, and they'll play them all over, and people will watch you. And my knees started knocking, and my heart started pounding. And I said, Pastor Wayne, can I get back to you on this? He said, I'll be praying for you and for your answer. So I hung up the phone and I went and sat down at my computer, and there was a message there from Pastor Wayne's assistant, Mary Waya Leah, and she said, you know what? She said, take courage. Take courage? I thought, are you crazy? I mean, I've got a wonderful church and we're growing and we're doing great things, but man, speaking here in one of the most courageous churches in America, voted one of the most influential churches in America. I thought, what am I doing? A big old howley from the really large island, California, doing, coming here and speaking to you. And then I stopped and I prayed. You see, fear gripped my heart. Discouragement came and said, who am I to speak to such a wonderful group as you? But then the Lord spoke to my heart. And he said, Bernie, I will be with you. Isn't it important for us to make sure that we take courage at the hand of the Lord and that we listen to God? Matter of fact, Jesus, when he was on this planet, he realized how incredibly discouraging this world could be. Now, you may ask this question, why would I speak on courage to such a great church? Well, I wonder. I wonder what souls have yet to be won for Jesus. I wonder what territory physically and geographically has yet to be conquered by this church. I wonder what marriages are yet to be restored. I wonder what young people are yet to be saved from walking the wrong path to walking a godly path. I just wonder how many people that are hearing me today may say, I have still yet to say yes to Jesus and make my most eternal decision. And I wonder how many of you said yes to Jesus long ago, but now you're saying no more often to him than you're saying yes. A lady stopped me after the last service outside, and she said, Pastor Bernie, I have ceased to move forward with God. I've been saved many years. I gave my life to Jesus, but now I've kind of learned to pick and choose my yeses and my noes. It takes courage to say yes to the Lord. And Jesus would tell us in John 16:33, he would say these words to us. Let's read them together. Ready, go. These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you may have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world. I have a question for you. What in your life right now, what area in your life right now do you need to take the courage that Jesus is offering you? Jesus said, take courage. He didn't say, let it lay there on the table. He said, take it. Grab hold of it and run with it. Have you ever heard the chickens? The chickens speak all the time to me. I might be a weird howley who hears chickens talk, but I've heard them. They'll say things to me like, you can't do it. It's not going to happen for you. You'll never get over that. They'll tell you to stay down. Matter of fact, they will talk to you about gravity, and they will say, you can't fly. And God will say, you're supposed to soar. And the chickens will flap their weathered feathers, and they'll say, you know what? You can't do it. It'll never happen to you. Have you ever heard the chickens? Yeah. Sometimes they're external chickens, and sometimes they're internal. The voices in our head or in our heart that run with fear. But Jesus speaks, and he says, take courage. I've recently been working real hard at losing weight. I just lost 60 pounds, and that's, yeah. Thank you. I used to be on the seafood diet. If I saw it, I ate it, and now I've changed. I used to go to the refrigerator and open the door. You wouldn't understand this, but I would open the door and look around and close the door, and I'd come back later and now open the door as though something were going to speak to me or some new item would magically reappear, and I'd close the door and I'd go to the couch and they'd tell me to have it my way and I deserve a break today, and I'd go to the refrigerator and you wouldn't understand. And I began to have courage to change some things in my life, to get above the rubble, as a wise man told me to do. Courage. The early church prayed for courage. In Acts 4:29, we have their very first prayer recorded. Let's read it together. Ready, go. Lord, consider the threats we are receiving and enable your servants to speak your word with courage. 2 weeks ago, this church had church in the park. And Pastor Wayne preached a phenomenal message as the trade winds were blowing. And he said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be witnesses of the Lord. He told you that that word power meant dynamite from God. And I believe that God's Spirit gives us the dynamite to run the race that He's called us to run. And I also believe that the Holy Spirit is the greatest encourager of all. He can give you the ability inside to move forward, to move away from fear and regret in the past, and to live your life for God, and to make the most of every opportunity. Courage is the ability to move forward in the face of fear. It's not the absence of fear. The psalmist says, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in you. And then the psalm goes on, and not one place in that psalm does it say that his fear was removed. In the midst of his fear, he trusted in God, and the trust allowed him to move forward. One of my favorite stories is found in the Old Testament. It's the story of Joshua. Now, Joshua was being called to do what Moses could not do. Moses did not lead the children of Israel into the promised land, but Joshua was being called to lead them. Moses was the guy, remember, with the burning bush and take off your shoes, this is holy ground. He's the one who climbed up the mountain and retrieved the Ten Commandments, not the Ten Suggestions. And when he came off that mountain, he had also seen the presence of God. And now Joshua, probably with his knees knocking, was being called by God to do what Moses could not do. We'll read the story in Joshua. It begins in 1:7 and 1:6 and 1:9. Let's read Joshua 1:7 together. Ready, go. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. And then in Joshua 1:6, let's read this. Ready, go. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. And then in Joshua 1:9, let's read this. Ready, go. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. When I preach, I repeat myself a lot, and I learned it from God. Because God repeats over and over to Joshua, be courageous. Do not be terrified. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Hold on to his word and keep it in your heart. I have found that, and in your notes, fear is a result of being absorbed with myself. When I look at myself, I begin to realize I can't do it. But the Bible tells us it's not by might or by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. The Bible also reminds us that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. The Bible also reminds us that you can't do it all, but you've never been called to do it all. You've been called to give your life to God and to serve through Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit and the courage that we are to take and grab hold of and not be absorbed with ourselves. Whatever you're facing today, I've got great news for you. You weren't meant to handle it by yourself. God is with you. He will be with you wherever you go as you put Him first in your life and as you serve Him. Fear is also the result of not moving forward, of staying where I am. Now, I'm not really a fan of flying. So I had to get over my fear of flying to come and be with you. And I was not really a fan of coming and speaking here, but Pastor Wayne told me I needed to. And I've received so much blessing and encouragement myself from being with this wonderful church. And you know, sometimes we don't receive courage from God until we take that first baby step. Until we walk from where we are to where we need to be. Until we move from the comfortable to the courageous. Anybody can live in the status quo. Anybody can open the refrigerator and look once again at the same old thing and expect different results. But as you begin to move forward, God gives you courage and empowerment you get no other way. I think fear is also the result in your notes of letting go of God's word. Of having the word of God in front of you and then letting it go. Pastor Wayne taught me 6 years ago how to journal. And it has changed my life. It has changed my marriage and my family. And it has changed our church. We have people in California who are journaling. We use New Hope journals because they're awesome. We've got the kitty ones and the pink ones and the blue ones and the red ones and the orange ones. They're great. And people are reading the Word of God. And Pastor Wayne taught me how to do it for maximum results. And I encourage you to read the Word and to put it in your heart so you might not sin against God. Joshua, hold on to my Word. Fear is also the result of becoming distracted. Have you ever gotten distracted? You're driving down the road. Have you ever seen anyone do this? And they're talking on the cell phone and they're putting on their makeup and they're steering with their knee and they're reading the Honolulu Bulletin and they're driving downtown. You go, what are you thinking? I just saw her yesterday. I go, my goodness. Distracted. You cannot live for God. And Joshua says, you cannot live for God if you are distracted. He says, don't look to the right or to the left. I wanted to bring one of my friends with me, but it was cost prohibitive to fly him in just to speak to you for 2 minutes. So I interviewed him before I came over. He's a dear friend of mine. You might know him too. And so take a look at this.
What makes a king out of a slave? Courage. What makes the flag on the mast to wave? Courage. What makes the elephant charge his tusk in the misty mist or the dusky dusk? What makes the muskrat guard his musk? Courage. What makes the Sphinx the seventh wonder? Courage. What makes the dawn come up like thunder? Courage. What makes the Hottentot so hot? What puts the ape in apricots? What have they got that I ain't got?
Courage.
You could say that again.
Yeah. Well, he's my friend. You know him? Yeah. The Cowardly Lion. I don't got it, he says. I don't got courage. But I'm here to give you some principles today to living a courageous life. Number one, would you write this down in your notes? Whatever you do, keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. Don't stay where you are, but move ahead in the things of God and what He has for you. Feel the fear and face your danger and move forward. Hebrews 12:1 tells us that very thing. Let's read it together. Ready, go. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. Joshua, the Lord will be with you wherever you go, but you got to go. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. You've got to go. It's easy to live in zero movement. And then we become apathetic, and then atrophy sets in, and we no longer move at all. It's just, I'll just kick back and wait for God to do everything. Yep. I'll just sit here and drink my iced tea, and God will do it. Some Christians have this viewpoint in their life, occupy till I come, the Lord says, and they just think that occupy till I come means to stand there with their bag packs at the bus stop and wait for the second coming. What are you doing? Just waiting for Jesus. Oh, no. See, Jesus calls us to partner with him and to run our race and to move forward and to throw everything off that easily slows us down. One of my favorite psalms, it's probably one of yours too, is the 23rd Psalm. And in Psalm 23:4, we find these words. Let's read them. Ready? Go. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You might want to underline that word walk, because walk is forward movement. You might be in the valley of the shadow of death, and you might say, God, I'm going to stop. I'm not going to move anymore. But the Lord calls us forward. And the reason we can walk in the valley of the shadow of death is the promise that God is where? He's with us. Yeah. I love old Western movies. And John Wayne said this powerful phrase. He said that courage is being scared to death and saddling up anyway. Just get on the horse and go ahead and ride. And the reason we can ride is because we know God is with us, and we also know that in the valley of the shadow of death, we don't need to fear. God is with us. Oh, and by the way, shadows can't hurt you. Shadows will never hurt you. The second thing I want you to see is that we've got to grab hold of hope. Grab hold of hope. Do you know what your calling is? People ask me all the time, Pastor Bernie, can you tell me what my calling is on my life? That's a hard question. I had a guy come to my office. He said, okay, I'll give you 5 minutes. Tell me what my call is. And I found this verse. By the way, it's your call too. Ephesians 1:18 says it so well. Let's read it. Ready, go. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope of which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. That's your calling. Dear ones, that's your calling. Your calling is to live a hope-filled life. And then in Colossians 1:27, we find these great words. Let's read them. Ready, go. God will to make known what is riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the what? The hope of glory. Amazing. A wise man taught me this. He said, you can find hope as you look to God. But as you look to yourself, you look to situations and circumstances, you can become filled with hopelessness. So I encourage you today to look for the glory of God and to look for his hope. A great pastor named Pastor Wayne taught me this. He said, look for the presence of God and not his absence. You will find when you look for the presence of God that he is everywhere. But if you look for his absence, you'll see all the bad things in the world and you'll conclude there is no God. But if you look for the presence of God, you'll see him everywhere. All those beautiful children that were on this platform, I thought, my goodness, the miracle of God, the miracle of birth. He was all over those children's faces and hearts, and you could see him working in their lives as well. So grab hold of hope. Number three, we've got to remember who I am and whose I am. Yeah, it's easy to lose your identity when times get tough. It's easy to forget who you are when the world is calling you and the devil's knocking on your door and saying, come out and play. Easy. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, we begin to see a little bit more about who we are. Let's read it together. Ready, go. Now we look inside, and what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start, is created new. The old life is gone, and the new life burgeons. Look at it. And then in 2 Corinthians 6:16, we read these words. Ready, go. As God has said, I will be with them and walk among them. And I will be their God, and they will be my people. If you've said yes to the Lord, then you're a child of God. I was with a group of people several years ago, and they were talking about all the actors that they knew and actresses that they knew. Someone had actually been with President Bush, and I thought, what am I going to say? Whose name am I going to use? Who do I know that's really, you know, famous? I thought, and I thought, and I thought, and finally I had the boldness and the courage to say, well, Guess who I was with this morning? They looked at me and I said, I was with someone who made all those people that you just named. I was with God. They said, oh, let's change the subject now. We don't want to talk about religion. I said, I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about a relationship that I have with the Lord. I know who I am and whose I am. I said, if you guys want to hear any more, I'll be glad to tell you outside. I'll actually pay for the lunch. They said, okay, we'll go to lunch if you're buying. But none of this religious stuff. Boy, I poured it on thick because I was paying, you know. And I began to share with them in about 5 minutes, which seems like probably an impossible thing for a preacher to do, but I did it in 5 minutes, and I said, you know what? You can name all the names you want, but I'm a child of God. I've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. I am someone who's been redeemed. I've been someone who was taken out of the pit and the miry clay, and He put my feet on a solid rock. He set my feet to dance in, and my soul's filled with joy, and I feel Him in my life, and even if I'm afraid, I will trust in Him, and God will see me through. And I said, guys, you know, someday you'll stand up in front of God, and you'll say, but I knew Him, and I knew Him, and God will look at you and say, I'm not impressed. You know what He's going to ask you? What did you do with my son Jesus? What did you give with the gift that is joy unspeakable and full of glory? What did you do with the one that I gave to you to save your sins so you could be with me? Oh, man. They said, hurry up, we want dessert. But the truth of the matter is, there are people who are desperate to know what we know. They're desperate to hear the words that you get to hear, the words that are filled with hope. And when the devil knocks on your door, you know what he tries to do to you? He tries to get you to forget who you are. I believe that Christians who really love the Lord are lousy sinners. Because when we sin, we feel so guilty. And our sin starts to crawl. And somebody says, oh, I rebuke that guilt. I don't want that coming on. But sometimes that's the Holy Spirit reminding us we got to step back to God. We got to get back to His presence. We got to get back to His Word and back to His Spirit. The devil tested Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve had this incredible garden, a garden filled with lush fruit and no disease and no death, a garden filled with fat-free, cholesterol-free food. Oh, someday, Lord, the banquet, I can't wait. Yeah, I can't wait. But they were in that garden, and if you remember the story, and I hope I've got it right, He said, you can eat anything you want. You can go anywhere you want, but this one tree right over here, stay away from the one tree, the one fruit. And you know what they did? They did what any kid does. You tell your child, don't go over here, and your child steps on the line. Don't go on the street, and your child stands on the curb. You have kids like I do? Yep, yep. And you know what Adam and Eve were told? Don't you go and eat that fruit. And you know what they said? Well, I wonder what it tastes like. And you know what the devil said to them as they hovered by the tree? He said, did God say, don't eat? Did He say? The devil will always challenge the word of promise to you. The devil will always challenge what God has spoken deep into your soul. Those words that come as you spend time with Him and you journal those things down. And the devil will challenge you. I think another thing that happened is not only does he challenge the Word of God, but the devil challenges our identity. Jesus had fasted 40 days in the wilderness, and at the end of the 40 days, obviously he was hungry, and that's where the devil usually attacks us, at our point of weakness, whatever it might be. And he says to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And Jesus responded, I don't live by the food that you're talking about, but I live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You see, Jesus held on to the Word of God. He held it inside his heart. And the devil offered him the world. He said, hey, if you bow down to me, I will give you all this. The devil's stupid because Jesus already owned everything. Everything was created by him and held together by him. And Jesus said, I'm not going your way because I know who I am and I know whose I am. And when Jesus went to the cross, they also attacked his identity. They hurled insults at him. And one of the robbers on the cross said, hey, If you're the Son of God, come down off this cross and we will worship you. I need to tell you, church, I don't worship the Lord because he came off the cross. I worship him because he stayed up, because he shed his blood for me, because he died for me, because he rose again on the third day for me. I worship my Savior because he gave his life for me, because he knew who he was and whose he was. And I'm so grateful today for a God who would give himself for someone like me. And number four, we must be people who give and receive encouragement. We've got to give it and we've got to receive it. When you see young people in this church who are living for God, who are saying no to alcohol and saying no to drugs, who are saying no to sexual promiscuity and they're living a life of abstinence, and you say to them, you know what? I encourage you. I bless you in the name of the Lord. You should give them high fives and low fives and $5 bills and say, you keep running your race. I met a young man after the last service, and he was outside here, and he gave his life to Jesus for the very first time in the last service. And I ran over to him, and I had the privilege of putting my hand on his heart and praying for him and saying, the Lord has spared you from things in your life so you could come to this day and have a day of salvation in your heart. And I've got to tell you, if nothing ever happens good to me out of this trip, that one man, that one young man I got to pray with was worth the journey. Because I could see in his eyes a heart of courage that says, you know what? I know it's going to be a tough road, but I'm going to live for God, and I'm going to live for him. And what I was doing to him and others around him, they were giving him courage. They were touching his life. In your notes, courage is contagious, and it's best received in the context of community. As you come together with one another, this should be a hope-filled church at New Hope. I believe one of the reasons that this church has grown so much, impacted the world so much, is your pastor, Pastor Wayne, is an encourager wherever he goes. And he's connected to the Holy Spirit, who is the greatest encourager of all. You can do what God has called you to do because of the courage that comes. Many of you have heard the story about the Canadian geese and how they fly together. Years ago, when I was in the Northwest, I saw hundreds of geese on their way up to Canada. And they were flying together in a V formation. And you have the lead goose who's just out there. He's going through and against the current, against the winds that are coming his way. And the other geese in the front, they're really working hard so the ones near the back can just kind of draft in. It's so great. And you will hear them before you see them. You know how you'll hear them? Honk! Honk, honk, honk! Honk, honk! And I asked a lady who was looking up with her binoculars, she was a bird watcher, I said, what is that all about? And she said, no problem, I have the gift of interpretation. And she said, let me tell you what they're saying. They're saying, you can do it! You can do it! Honk, honk! Hey, you know what? This should be a honking church where people are low-fiving and high-fiving and hugging and kissing and just, honk! Some big old Samoan guy came out the last service. He came over to me. I mean, he was like three times my size. He said, brother, honk, honk! And I said, you know what? I can go preach one more sermon after that. This is a honking church. Pastor Elwin encourages me. Pastor Wayne encourages me. This wonderful team that you have here of servants. People who are setting up early before any of you were even out of bed. You were still horizontal before God. And they were here serving, getting ready for your arrival. All of them encourage me and encourage you. We need to encourage one another. Oh, by the way, whenever the geese fly, they rotate. So the ones in the front can now go to the back and draft off the others. They serve together. They know how to do geese as a team, and they work together. They do, yeah. And if ever there's one goose who can't make it and has to come down to land for a while, there's always another goose who comes with it. There's no goose that goes it alone. And she said to me, she studies the geese. She said, scientific studies prove that no goose has ever died by itself. There's always been another one there to encourage. We need to remind people that they can run their race for God and to move forward. Israel was in battle, and in Judges chapter 20, verse 22, we find out that they're a little bit discouraged, but they were encouraged together to go back to their battle stations. Let's read this in Judges 20, 22. Ready, go. But the men of Israel encouraged one another and again took up their positions where they had stationed themselves the first day. The last thing I want to tell you, and this is from my heart, stay focused. Joshua, don't look to the right or to the left. You need to stay focused. When I was a young boy, I was raised in the Jewish faith. And I don't know what background you have, but Judaism is quite different than Christianity or Catholicism. And I remember being a young little boy at 13, I was bar mitzvahed. That means you wear a little yarmulke and a tallis and you say all your prayers in Hebrew. At the age of 14, my brother was killed by a drunk driver. And it really impacted my life. I had no answers to where I was going, and so I began to ask questions. And just two doors down from me was a family that attended the Four Square Church in the town where I lived. They took me in. They convinced my Jewish parents that it would be a good thing for me to go to church camp. They got to understand, not too many Jewish kids hang out at church camp. But they told me there'd be volleyball and basketball and girls there, so I went. But I met Jesus Christ there, and I said yes to him, and I made the most eternal decision that I could ever make. And you know what I found out? I found out that when I came home and told my Jewish parents that I accepted the Messiah, Jesus, that it wasn't a really popular thing to say. You see, my father is a survivor of the Holocaust. My grandmother and my auntie and my uncle, who I'm named after, were all killed in Auschwitz. And I said, Dad, I accepted Jesus Christ into my heart. You should kneel down right here and do the same thing. And he said, oh, no. I don't think the Christians really cared about us when we were being persecuted. And I'm going to ask you right now to renounce your faith. I said, Dad, I can't do it. Then he told me these words, and I'll never forget them as long as I live. He said that if Jesus Christ is real, you show me by how you live. Now, when you're 14 years old, and you're playing drums in a rock band, and you're crazy about girls, that'll mess up your life. And I said, God, you gotta help me. And I loved my dad, and I respected him, and I cleaned my room, and I mowed the lawn, and I did all the things that he wanted. I washed and waxed his car, and I played my music really quiet, which is hard to do. And I said, yes, sir, whatever you want. And then I was reminded of a verse in the Bible that says, let your light shine before men that they see your good works, and they turn and glorify God in heaven. I met with a friend of mine every morning. We read our Bibles together. We didn't know where to start reading. Do you start in Genesis or where? So we started in the book of Revelation. Two unsaved guys that just came to know Christ. We were saved like 3 weeks. We started reading about creepy crawly things and locusts that fly. And we said, what is this? We don't know, but it's cool. And they would ask us in Sunday school to quote verses, and we'd quote verses out of Revelation. Everybody would go, you guys are nuts. But doesn't God have a sense of humor? Because that's the book that he says, if you read this book, you'll be blessed. And I began to share my faith in my yearbook in middle school and my yearbook in high school. You'll never guess what the kids wrote. Dear Pastor Bernie, before I was even called of God to be in the ministry, my friends were recognizing that I had a call. And I thought, isn't that great? The heathens were telling me what I am. And I received that, and I said, Lord, I want to stay focused for you. Oh, I could tell you about how the story unfolds. We don't have time, but I do want you to know that my mother and my father both came to Jesus Christ, and they serve the Lord today. Yeah. And last year in our church, we saw over 400 people come to Jesus for the first time in our little church. 400 people said yes to Jesus. It was amazing. Yeah. But you got to stay focused. There's a lot to distract us. Jesus is in the garden, and he said, "Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me." He was in agony over thinking about taking on the sins of all mankind. And then he stopped and he said, "But Lord, not my will, but yours be done." And in Hebrews 12:2, we see the story unfold from the writer of Hebrews. Let's read it together. Ready, go. "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Jesus was focused. He looked before him and he saw the joy before him. The joy was that he would reascend to the Father. The joy was that he would receive a name that would be above all names, that at his name every knee would bow and every tongue would confess. His joy was you. He looked down the corridors of time and he saw you coming to Jesus. He saw you coming to faith. And when he went to the cross, he had you on his mind and you on his heart. You're his joy. And he died for you and he died for me. That's amazing. And we've got to stay focused in life. The chickens, they'll try to discourage you. The chickens, they'll try to get you off the focus. But you run your race for Jesus. The story is told about a farmer. He was out in his fields working, and he noticed off the end of the bluff, the eagles would fly. And one day, he noticed they weren't flying anymore, so he stopped and he walked to the edge of the bluff and he saw a nest, and there was one little egg right in the middle of the nest. So he brought it back and he brought it to the chicken coop with the hopes and anticipation that it might hatch. A few days later, he went back and he saw this strange looking eaglet popping its head out, strutting its stuff in the barnyard. An eagle that was meant to soar and meant to fly quickly learned the habits of the chickens. The chickens wait for the farmer to come out, and he throws out the chicken feed, and they peck the ground and eat their little chicken feed, and they sit inside the pen. But one day, the little eaglet looked up, and he saw eagles. His own kind were flying, and he began to say, "Lord, I want to fly. I believe I could fly. I believe I could touch the sky and spread my wings and fly away. But I got to be here with the chickens today." And he felt the gravitational pull downward that said, "You can't do it." So he went to the mother hen and he said, "Mama, can I fly?" And she said, "You weren't meant to fly. You're a chicken. You're a chicken like us. We just flap our wings and make a lot of noise, but we don't get very far. If you try to fly out of this chicken coop, you're going to cut your neck on the barbed wire on the top. You're going to die, and it's going to be terrible." Then he said, "Well, I think I'll go to the rooster." So he went to the rooster. He's the father of faith in the chicken coop. He said, "Daddy, what am I going to do? I want to fly." He said, "You weren't meant to fly. And if you go outside this chicken coop, there'll be no food out there for you. Don't you come back here no more. We're not going to feed you if you can't find any food." I thought, oh, my goodness, what am I going to do? The eagle looked up day after day, and he saw the other eagles flying. He said, "I want to fly." Time passed. The farmer went in the chicken coop one day, and he noticed a ball of feathers in the corner. The little eagle had passed away. And with it, the dreams and the hopes and the potentials of flying. His dreams had never been released. I want to say to you today, God wants you to soar. God wants you to fly. God wants you to take courage and to live your life for him. Don't listen to the chickens who say it can't be done. It can be done. Go and turn this world upside down for Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, I encourage you today to give your heart and your life to him, to say yes. It's the most eternal decision you'll ever make. And if you said yes to him before, I tell you, say yes to him every day. "Lord, whatever you want me to do, I will do for you." Church, There's a world out there that desperately needs to know the joy that you have in Jesus. There are people who are lost and are bound. They go to parties. They go to nightclubs. They drink. They smile a lot, but in the inside, they're broken down. They're beaten down. They're discouraged by life on the planet. And I just say to you as a word from God today, take courage. Run your race. Soar for God. Would you bow your heads and let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray for these wonderful people that are here today. You died for each one. You care for each one, oh God. And you desire to bring yourself to them and your Holy Spirit to them to give them courage. I ask you now, would you repeat these words after me? Let's say them together. Dear God, I thank you for Jesus. Dear Jesus, I thank you that you gave your life for me. Come into my heart. Give me the courage to believe, to follow you, to live for you all the days of my life. And now I say this so I can hear myself, so you can hear me, so the devil can hear me. You are my Lord. You are my Savior, and I will serve you. Amen. Amen. If you're here today and you would say, Bernie, I'm going to give my life to Christ. I prayed that prayer for the first time. I will tell you today that God will be faithful. You see, in the end of The Wizard of Oz, Dorothy and the Scarecrow, the Lion and the Tin Man, they all meet the wizard, and the wizard was a wimp. He was behind the smoke and the mirrors. He was behind the fake thunder. The curtain was pulled back, and he was a wimp. But I'm here to tell you today, your God is not a wimp. Your God is an awesome God. He's immortal, invisible, the only wise. And he can do anything. Yes, he can do anything. Thank you, Lord. And if you've never come to Christ, would you just raise your hand? It'll take courage. But if this is your day, the day of salvation, I just want you to lift your hand and say, Bernie, I'm giving my life to Christ today. I want to agree with you. Anybody here? Yep, yep. Anybody else? Anybody else? Yep, 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 yep. We celebrate your decision. Thank you so much. And as you leave today, those of you that raise your hand, there's a yes tent outside. People will be outside with yes packets. You can go to the concierge and they'll give you a yes packet to start you on your journey with Jesus. I have one PS. A PS stands for parting shot. Please take courage and live for Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. God bless you. God bless you.
Speaking just to me. That message was for me. You know, going to China, this thing is not an easy thing. I hate long trips. We go to Beijing, then to inner China. In fact, one of the more northern and most western part of China, and the temperature, I just checked it, is about 11 degrees. And it'll be a...
I know I'm done, but it takes courage to come out here.
When you're not supposed to be here.
I think because not only is this man a dear brother of mine and a friend, but one of your great pastors, we need to pray for him and his trip. Amen? Amen? Would you extend your faith this way? And let's pray for Pastor Owen. Lord, right now, in Jesus' name, we pray over Pastor Owen. We pray for joy. We pray for this brand new child. It takes courage for what they're about to do. But we pray for little Jared. And Lord, we pray your spirit to be upon them as they travel, that you would keep them safe. And as Jared, Lord, is grafted into the Ahu family and the New Hope Ohana, we pray for blessing upon his life, that he will grow to be a man of God because you have called this family to raise him in the ways of the Lord. And we pray your blessing upon Elwin and Joy in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. 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 Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you.
That's why he's my brother. He's my brother. But you know, for yourself, it doesn't have to mean a trip to China to have courage. What is it that God is asking you to do? Even if it's just a little step to ask someone for forgiveness that you haven't asked for a long time, what is that step that God is asking of you? Let the seed of courage that was planted in your heart this morning begin to grow so you can start going. Move forward. Move forward in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Father, again, thank you, Lord, for Pastor Bernie. Thank you for his heart, Lord, and the way that he shared your word to us, Father, this morning. And now help us to plant that seed in our hearts. And as we leave here, we leave differently from when we came. Let us walk in courage, encouraged in your name and in your word. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. We thank you for who you are in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Seal that to your heart. Thank you.
You walk in.